destroy this
Earth. Later.
I like to play with things a while
before annihilation.
Okay, the long-promised Flash Gordon review.
It's about time.
Yeah.
We only just got the Blu-ray the other day, though.
Oh, you know, man, and seeing this movie again after... We saw it about 2 years ago, I think, just on regular... Yeah,
I think we watched it on maybe on like Amazon Prime or something like that.
Yeah, just on a regular computer monitor.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, that computer monitor just doesn't do this movie justice until you see it on a big HD TV with a good surround sound. Man, this movie, it blew me away.
I really forgot.
I forgot how good looking this movie was.
Well, like, I saw it when I was a kid, and then me and you saw it a couple years ago.
Yeah, and it's okay.
And and like, I was thinking, it's kind of, it's cheesy in the way, well, I don't want to say cheesy exactly, but it's not as cheesy.
Re-evaluated this movie. Yeah,
it's not as cheesy as I remember.
Yeah, and it's not as cheesy as people think when you see it in a good format, understanding what it is that this movie's trying to do. People don't get this movie. You know,
it's definitely
when this movie came out, I saw it at least 3 times in the theater. Each time I just fucking loved it. I couldn't have been, but maybe 13. What year did this come out?
1980, right?
1980. Yes. I was about 12 or 13.
Yeah.
This movie just at the time I was saying, you know, it's not quite Star Wars, but it's its own thing. And I think the key to understanding this movie is to understand that this is Flash Gordon. Flash Gordon is what? 1935.
Yeah, something like that.
And this movie's still in 1935.
Yeah.
This is science fiction without the science. No doubt about it. We don't have spaceships. We have rocket ships.
It's science-y fiction.
Yeah. it's very surreal and a lot like it's another Dino De Laurentiis movie, which I love Dino De Laurentiis. A lot of his movies, this fantasy type stuff like Conan and Dune and all that. I mean, he made movies that never really should have been made.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's what a motherfucker's got to do sometimes. You know what I mean? He was self-funded and he was bizarre. He didn't take people's advice.
Well, yeah, nobody told things, him he couldn't.
Yeah, so. And he would do things on a whim. And being Italian, he always had a certain amount of panache to the decisions that he made. We're going to make a King Kong. We're going to make a Flash of Gordon. We're going to make a Doom. You know, it's like that, you know. Script? I don't read script.
Yeah, he never did read script.
I don't read script. Yeah, he don't care. All right. But no, it was just good. It's Flash Gordon was like the grandfather of superheroes.
Yeah.
All right. This is pre-Superman and all that. And superheroes came from these stories. Now, Flash Gordon was not really the original per se. The original probably would have been Buck Rogers.
Yeah.
And Flash Gordon and Buck Rogers was doing really well in comic books. And another company decided that they had to, I forgot the artist's name who drew him, who came up with him, but you might be able to see it on there. But what he said, we have to have a response to Buck Rogers.
Yeah.
And it's going to be in Flash Gordon. And Flash Gordon kind of topped Buck Rogers in many ways. And when it went to serials, and a lot of people don't know what a serial is. A serial was a little movie that you saw before the big movie played.
Yeah, they played it in like pieces.
Yeah. In our days, we were after the serials, but in our days it was the cartoons.
Yeah.
For our generation, they play some cartoons and then they play the real movies.
Yeah.
Well, in this day, they had serials. And in the serials, Buster Crabbe played both Buck Rogers and Flash Gordon.
And Flash Gordon, yeah.
So Flash Gordon from 1980 is very true to the original material of the serial Flash Gordon mixed in with the comic book Flash Gordon. And they let you know it in the beginning, opening scenes of the movie. They're showing the comic book. And in this new Blu-ray, which looks fantastic. On a good
yeah, set. I couldn't believe how
really
awesome it looks.
Good. It has a comic book motif through the whole layout of the DVD. You know, like the controls.
Like on the menu and
on
stuff.
On the menus. Yeah. Yeah, it looks really, really good. And to see these colors enhanced, they're even better than, it looks even better than it looked in the film when I was a kid, or at least, you know, as far as I remember.
Yeah.
It looks really good. It is a trip. It reminds me of an even better version of Barbarella. Barbarella was another Dino film, and it kind of had that same psychedelic kind of look, but this one looks a lot better.
I actually like Flash Gordon a lot better than Barbarella. Yeah. I like Barbarella.
Barbarella had a weak story.
Yeah.
That was the problem with Barbarella.
Yeah.
All right. Weak story. But not Flash Gordon.
Well, in Barbarella, the villain was kind of lame, too. Wasn't particularly villainous.
The villain was looked like Sonya, our friend Sonya.
Yeah.
Remember that? Just a black-haired goth chick.
Yeah.
Well, Dredd Rann was the main villain. Remember the girl? What was
vaguely
her name? It was a hard to follow movie. Yeah.
Flash Gordon was much was more straightforward.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, in the DVD, they have the first episode of the Flash Gordon serial. And you can see pretty much scene to scene, it's pretty close to the original
material. Yeah, they have the first one. I mean, obviously it was made in 1936.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously it's not going to have like big elaborate sets or anything like that.
Yeah.
But you can see that it tried to remain true to the spirit of the comic and stuff like that. But the movie really like takes that and like ramps it up to 11, like with the costumes and the sets and everything
And the damn sexual undertones were really strong. It was a very decadent movie. It didn't have any nudity.
Even in the 30s, I was surprised when we saw like the first part of the serial.
It was like
on
that.
The Blu-ray.
The original was like that too.
It's like, it's the same thing. Like the daughter, like Ming's daughter, like as soon as Flash Gordon gets bringing, she's like, their little boobies.
Yeah, little boobies. Those are
big boobies.
Yeah. and the original Flash Gordon series opened up with like this big statue. It looked like a statue of a red Buddha, like a devil.
Yeah.
With horns on it and draping all over. It's like semi nude women, and its hands move, so it was otherworldly. It was a trip, and it had a lot of sexual undertones to it,
too.
Lots of cleavage.
Yeah,
that's before all those rules.
I think it was before the Hays Code.
Yeah.
I can't remember when that came in, but like I said, it was that type of thing that brought the Hays Code in because people just thought movies were getting out of control.
Yeah,
too many boobies.
Right,
we can't have that.
But if you've seen this movie and you didn't like it because you saw it on television, see it on Blu-ray.
Well, yeah.
Because TV didn't do it justice. I can remember seeing it on HBO on those old-fashioned TVs we grew up with, you know, before HDTV. And it looked hokey. But when you see it now, look at how good those costumes looked.
That is my favorite thing about this movie is the costumes. Yeah. Every single one of those costumes is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And if I knew how to sew or like make costumes, I would cosplay every single one.
Prince Baron's uniform in HD looks so much better than it looked on regular television. And those birdmen, like Voltan. His name is Voltan.
Or something like, or Zoltan.
I forgot. It's funny. I grew up with this shit.
We're getting old, kids. Yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah, the whole thing looks a lot better and it sounds better and the whole movie flows and just the colors pop. It just looked really cool.
Well, the thing, and like I said, when we were talking about this before, I said when we saw it before,
yeah,
and we just saw it on, you know, the laptop or whatever.
Yeah.
And I remember liking it but being like, well, it's kind of cheesy, like the action's bad and stuff like that. But when we were watching it last night, like in HD and like on the big screen and it's widescreen and everything, it's like you don't even notice. You just get so like tied, you get so wrapped up in the story and you get so wrapped up in the look of it.
Yeah.
And it's not even it's almost kind of like Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's a similar kind of vibe.
Well, Horror Picture Show kind of looks cheesy to me because I've only seen it on television.
Yeah.
Maybe if you see that in HD, it looks a lot better.
Probably. I mean, I saw it in the theater a bunch of times back in the day.
What I remember thinking is looking at it now on the Blu-ray on a bigger screen with that good sound going, it seemed more theatrical, like you were watching some kind of a psychedelic live-action play.
Yeah.
And it was
that's why it didn't bother me as much. Because the thing is, I think the thing maybe most people complain about is like the main guy that plays Flash Gordon.
Yeah.
Who just seems like, I mean, he's a football player, so he's just kind of this lunkheaded.
But the original was that way.
But the original was that way too. And honestly, it's not really that bad. I mean,
no, exactly. He's pretty good.
Yeah. He's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Because the character, he's just supposed to be kind of this pure-hearted,
kind
of dumb, but, you know, not
in a bad
way. He's supposed
to be an all-American guy.
Yeah.
That he could be any man. And he's overcoming all this stuff with human skill and just athletic prowess.
Yeah.
No superheroes.
I love that when he arrives on the planet on Mongo or whatever, he's got the shirt that says Flash on it.
Yeah,
he's like, just in case I forget my name.
Flash Gordon, quarterback.
New York Jets.
Yeah, New York Jets. And then he beats the aliens at football. First thing he does.
Yeah. Well, because he's getting his ass handed to him at first. And then the doctor gets the idea. He's like, oh, he's a football player, so I'm going to take one of these eggs, like the Fabergé egg thing that one of the other people has brought.
I thought it was a fruit. It was hard to tell. Yeah,
I think it was a big, thought it was like a Fabergé egg, like a big egg. Maybe it so he throws it to Flash, and Flash is like, oh, football, now I know what to do. Yeah, and then he just starts knocking dudes over.
Yeah.
And then the funniest part, one of my favorite parts of the whole movie is when Dale, his sudden girlfriend, who he just met on the plane, and suddenly I love
any
you.
Any woman he sees is his girlfriend, kind of.
And then
Ming's daughter's his girlfriend in a way. Yeah. And she's girlfriends with every other guy in there.
She's a ho.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, but so he starts running through with this egg or whatever, and Dale immediately jumps into cheerleader mode. Go Flash, go! Flash, go!
Which evidently she made that up. She made that up.
That was brilliant.
Yeah, she kind of made that up on the spot. And the director's like, yeah, do that.
She was actually...
Was ad-libbed, evidently.
I actually like her character a lot better. Like, she was very funny and very resourceful.
Yeah.
Like, she gets... Because she gets immediately kidnapped and taken into be one of Bing's concubines, right?
Yeah.
And she goes in there and they give her this liquor that, you know, all the other concubines are like, here, drink this. It'll make you not mind, like, getting fucked by Ming. Because apparently it's not a very pleasant experience.
Yeah.
But, and she immediately gets this like other slave girl to come in and she's like, hey, come on, we're all girls, hey, I'll drink it. I won't tell anybody. And then she like knocks her out and takes
Gets
and then she's running through the hall
with her
heels in her hands.
And a gun in the other hand.
And a laser gun in the other hand.
It's awesome.
Like shooting the little the henchmen and stuff with her shoes. Oh, can't forget my shoes. Oh another my god, thing, I love that.
Another thing about this movie, I think that a lot of people didn't get it, is that I think people, especially in 1980, things were kind of gritty back then, and people especially the older generation, they liked things that were realistic and no nonsense. They didn't like science fiction. That was one of the things I've noticed. They didn't like flights of fancy, a lot of people that were older than us. Things kind of had to be...
Like, fuck that imagination. Yeah,
no, that's stupid.
I don't want to imagine things.
Outer space. There's no outer space. They're like, a lot of them were like that, you know. This movie was a little bit ahead of its time. It was a genre movie. The genre was comic books. And it was comic books, science fiction, fantasy. I think it came out about 5 years too early.
Yeah, I think if it had come out a few years down the road, I think it would have done really well.
Because what the audience is being shown is basically what is being shown to you in the comic books. And what was shown to you in the comics books were things that could not really happen.
Yeah, it was not realistic.
It was not realism. You could not fly in a spaceship and open the window and throw a cigarette at them like they would do.
Like
you would do in the 1930s science. You could not run along the wing of a spacecraft in between planets. You know what I mean? And have a sword fight. You know, that was all, you know. So these are not things that actually happen in reality. The whole tale is a mythic tale.
Yeah, it's
very
almost,
much like Sinbad.
Yeah, or like Greek mythology type of, it's the same type of thing.
Right, and everything's candy colored.
Yeah.
Kind of like you're seeing this story unfold on a stage.
Yeah.
Almost. But I'll tell you what, the sets are dynamite. You look at them now, the sets look really, really good.
Yeah, they're really beautiful. Yeah. And all of the costumes are beautiful.
Yeah, they're over-the-top costumes.
I mean, for many years, we've been saying this for many years. It's like we just never get around to it. We have been wanting to do... I wanted to be... what's her name? General...
Kala. Yeah.
And you were going to be Clytus.
Yeah.
We were going to do that for Halloween one year.
Those costumes would cost a mint. They'd be hard to make.
I know. Because you'd have to do them really good.
They were all handmade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I've been dying to do that for Halloween one year. We'll have to do it one year when we make all the money.
Yeah. But it was cool, man. That was cool.
You would make a good Ming, too, I think.
I don't know. He's kind of tall and thin. Probably better Clytus.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. I don't want to shave my head again.
I don't know. I kind of
like that. Max von Sydow probably does the definitive Ming the Merciless in this
movie. He's so good in this.
Yeah. I can't see how that could be topped. They were going to have a sequel to this, but it didn't recoup enough money.
Yeah.
And it was going to be Flash Gordon on Mars.
Well, okay, fair enough.
Ming doesn't really die at the end, and they let you know that he really doesn't die at the end. He somehow teleports himself away using a ring.
Well, even do a the end with a question mark.
Now, that was one of the cool things about Flash Gordon, is that their version of technology wasn't our version of technology. When Flash first shows up on the planet Mongo, a guard or a soldier shoots at him with a ring, and the ring shoots out a golden wave, and on the end of that wave is a golden gauntlet of hands that hold him still.
Yeah.
So you have a ring that shoots rays of fists. Remember that?
How would you even think, like, what drugs would you have to be on to even think of that?
I don't know. They had all kinds of weird what the fuck technology in that.
Well, and you know, I don't know if you know, but when they put Ming's daughter on the torture table and were
hands were holding her down.
Yeah, the same hands were like holding her down.
That was like their force fields, or that was like something.
Yeah, some kind they were of like gold gauntlet gloves.
Kind and then here's another thing. Ming had a ring that allowed him to molest a motherfucker at a distance. That's He'd point a ring at a woman and he could touch her from a distance, and she could feel it, and it would cause her sexual impulses to go crazy, and the head of his secret police could confirm that, yeah, that's a sexy motherfucker. Remember that?
Yeah, he did that to Dale.
Yeah, he goes, have you seen such a response? Yeah, no, I've never seen such a response.
It's like, that's pretty
bad. Yeah, we're going to molest a bitch from a distance.
That's pretty
using
bad.
Using my ring, yeah. That was another thing about the movie. It was kind of very 70s. Not only was it 30s, it was also very 70s. And that kind of hit a resonant frequency right there of kind of like this weird sluttiness. You know, remember that?
Well, it was almost kind of implied too that, okay, I might be reading
it was implied that Ming and his daughter were.
That's what I was just going to say.
Yeah.
Because she knew. She's like, oh, well, he takes the drug like the Viagra or like, you know.
Yeah, he takes power potion.
Power potion, yeah. Before he screws one of his concubines. So I'm like, how would she know that?
Yeah. And then she asks her dad, can I have that guy right there? You know, when she sees Flash, she goes, I want him. Can I have him? He's like, well, what would your boyfriend Baron think? You know, he was like, oh, he'll never know. And he goes, no. Your tastes are much too dangerous. No. She goes, please, daddy. You know, and she's like, dude, fucking
with
his beard.
It's super weird.
It's weird, yeah. It's weird.
But everyone's fucking everybody.
Idea was is that if you really look at the mythical meaning of the story, the humans from the planet Earth, okay, which were Dale, Dr. Zarkov, Dr. Zarkov and Flash, they were all pretty pure of heart Earthlings. You know what I mean? They were honest. But not all of the aliens weren't. They were backstabbing, catty, fighting.
Yeah, they were supposed to be very decadent.
Decadent, kind of. Degenerate kind of. Sluts.
Yeah, that's definitely how they
definitely what they were.
How they portrayed them.
Now, this is all coming from the mind of America in the 1930s. And based on wardrobe, based on storylines, even back in the original material, mythically what they're talking about is they're talking about foreigners. It's Americans talking about foreigners, all right?
Those crazy foreigners fucking their daughters.
Prince Baron is obviously Robin Hood. He's a British guy, Robin Hood and the Merry
Men. His outfit looks very Robin Hood. And he lives in a place called Arboria.
Arboria.
And they all look like tree people, kind of.
And all the flying guys with the wings are all the Greeks and the Romans, the Greco-Romans. And if you look at Ming and the Mongols, they're like the Chinese, I guess.
I think they're definitely supposed to be Asian of some type, yeah.
And probably because in the 30s, if you're living in the United States and you're trying to write up an exotic tale about foreigners, you know, aliens or foreigners, you know, what's the most exotic foreign thing you know is the Chinese restaurant.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's kind of like a Chinese Disneyland quality to Mongo and Ming's capital city.
It does have a lot of that kind of, that with the red and gold.
Red and gold. Remember in the source material, there's dragons.
Yeah.
And satanic Buddha looking statues and stuff like that. And his name is Ming, you know?
Yeah, true.
And the little sinister...
His little Fu Manchu.
Yeah, it's, you know, exotic and dangerous foreigners. But damn, they're women. Because, you know, his daughter is a major, you know, love interest in the mythos. So that's really what they're talking about. Americans dealing with foreigners.
I kind of feel like a lot of movies from that era, from the 30s, from the 30s through the 50s, really, kind of had that same sort of thing.
But surprisingly, the movie didn't sell well in the United States. I think it was about 5 years too soon for that, but it sold well in Europe.
Yeah.
It sold very well in Europe. The British liked it, and evidently, I think they said France.
Yeah.
They like that.
Interesting. Well, because we were kind of talking about that. I was kind of feeling
and
like...
And Italy. Because, you know, a lot of Italian, a lot of British people worked on this film. It has a very European flavor to the movie.
It actually is a very... Like, in the color palette and the sets and everything, it is very Italian.
It's Europeans telling an American story.
Yeah.
About Americans talking about Europeans.
Meta.
Man.
But yeah, I mean, well, like with the bright colors and everything like that, it is a very Italian-looking movie. But that's probably what I like about it, because I really dig Italian movies.
For me, it falls in with all the good Dino De Laurentiis science fiction films that failed.
Yeah.
Like Dune.
Yeah.
Okay, I liked that one. Barbarella failed. I liked the way Barbarella looked.
Yeah.
But, you know, the story sucked. This rectified that as far as science fiction fantasy. This looks even better. The story's even better. Another Dino film that I loved was Conan 1.
Yeah.
This is right in there with those. Right in there with us.
Well, like I said, it does seem like there was some kind of sword and sorcery stuff going on at the time, but I kind of feel like maybe Flash Gordon was a little too out there, like a little too European, a little too, because it would really be several years before you got kind of your big budget fantasy kind of movies. Because we were talking about some fantasy movies that came out in the mid 80s that were real big, like Neverending Story and Dark Crystal and Labyrinth and stuff like that. Gotta
remember, at this time, also, The Thing came out and it failed. So what could the American audience really know at that time?
You have to suck
serious balls to not like The Thing.
I kind of feel like if that had come out a couple years later,
it would have done a lot better.
I kind of feel like people our age,
right?
Because, you know, you're only a couple years older than me.
Yeah, we liked it, but the older people didn't like it.
But we weren't quite old enough to go to our movies.
Yeah.
In the late 70s, early 80s. Like, I was a little too young.
Yeah.
But a couple years later, when those types of movies came out, then they kind of exploded. And also there was the whole home video thing and everything. That's when like kind of splatter movies got real big and fantasy got real big. So I kind of feel like it's kind of, you know, our Generation X, I suppose, like people that were born in the late 60s, early 70s that came of age in the 80s and liked that kind of shit.
Yeah.
So I think maybe like the people that were old enough to go to the movies then, they weren't quite ready for that.
The most science fiction they could tolerate really at that time, think about what worked. Star Wars.
Which was fairly realistic.
It's fairly realistic. Now, George Lucas wanted to do Flash Gordon, but Dino owned the rights. So he was like, well, fuck it. I'll make my own Flash Gordon. And then he made Star Wars. Dino heard about that and he goes, he made Flash Gordon, you know? Oh, it's Star Wars. Okay, well, I gotta make Flash Gordon then. Star Wars worked because it was a little bit realistic. Alien 1 worked because that was very realistic.
Very realistic, yeah.
What else was realistic? E.T. worked because that was happening on Earth. That was kind of realistic.
Yeah, it's almost like in the late 70s, early 80s, if you were going to do sci-fi, it almost had to be super grounded in reality wouldn't buy it.
That's what I was talking about earlier.
I kind of feel like nowadays, or, you know, just a few years later and nowadays, I feel like people are more open to just like crazy shit.
And
as long as your story is internally consistent, I think people will mostly pretty much buy whatever.
I guarantee you, had Flash Gordon come out 5 years later, it would have done a lot better.
Yeah, I think it would have too.
Yeah, it was
because I think people would have been more...
Yeah.
More open to, because like I said, it's marginally sci-fi, but it's a comic book movie. It's a fantasy. You know, they go out in space and they just fly from planet to planet with no suit. There's clouds in space. You know what I mean? It just looks like a regular sky on Earth.
And not really. It's kind of
pink
and green and boy,
it looks like an acid trip.
And it looks really good in HD.
It really does.
It looks really good.
Yeah. So, you know, so it's not like any kind of thing where, whoa, you can't, like, walk around in space.
None of this stuff is supposed to be happening.
No. Like, it's very mythic.
Yeah.
Very mythic. Yeah. Not, you know, it's really not, I wouldn't really even call it a sci-fi movie.
No.
It's a fantasy.
Fantasy
and
adventure.
Actually, the guy that was on one of the extras on the DVD, on the Blu-ray, rather, he was a comic book artist.
Yeah.
And he's done some artwork for Flash Gordon, like, lately.
Yeah.
And he called it a rock opera, which I think is a really good...
With that soundtrack,
Yeah, with that soundtrack, it is very much like a rock opera. You know, it's kind of like I said, maybe more like Phantom of the Paradise than Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I think
is more similar.
But what this movie did is it primed our generation to allow other movies to fucking come that were really awesome.
Yeah.
This kind of opened the gate. Okay, here's another good example. Had you gone forward in time and grabbed Total Recall and brought it back to 1980, it would have bombed just as bad as Flash Gordon.
It probably would have.
They would have gone, like, oh, no, that's bullshit. You can't change somebody's memories.
I feel like that was a little too out there for
Christopher too TV, out there probably. For him. Yeah.
It really does seem like, I mean, and I'm not going to say, because I do like a lot of the more realistic
movies. We would have liked it, but adults wouldn't have liked it.
Well, people our age liked that kind of shit back then. Yeah. But that's why it's cult classics now, is because nobody.
Well, no, I'm talking about
mainstream didn't like it at the time.
I was talking about Total Recall. If you had gone back and got Total Recall and brought it back to 1980 and showed it to us, we would have liked it.
Yeah.
But a 30-year-old wouldn't have liked that in 1980.
Not 1980.
They would have been, oh, that's bullshit.
We're going to have to do a review of Total Recall, too.
Yeah, excellent movie.
Yeah.
Excellent movie. You know, hey, man, we're getting off topic, but yeah.
That's okay. We have a huge Arnold Schwarzenegger.
There's something to be said for many of those Arnold Schwarzenegger movies. He was actually very wise to make a lot of those movies. I'm not going to go totally in on The Running Man. It was entertainment, but Total Recall, yeah.
Yeah, I like that movie a lot.
Terminator? Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Predator? Hell yeah. You know, yeah, he did some good shit.
Yeah, he really did.
Yeah.
Well, he's very iconic.
He knew what was up. And, you know, and directors wanted him. They knew how to cast him.
Has anybody talked about doing a remake of Flash Gordon?
Yes, and I hope they don't do it.
I kind of hope they don't.
Because what they'll do is they'll try to modernize it for a contemporary crowd.
And gritty it up.
And that means make it gritty and realistic. And when you do that, it's no longer Flash Gordon anymore. It's going to be the same shit they did with. But if you take Flash Gordon and you modernize it and, hey, let's give it really good special effects that look absolutely real and realistic, what you're going to have is Star Trek.
Yeah.
You know.
Which there's nothing wrong with Star Trek, but Flash Gordon is not Star Trek. Star Trek. Right. Star Trek is Star Trek.
It's like, you know what? Let's make Superman. But let's make him real. No superpowers. And matter of fact, let's get rid of that silly suit. And this whole idea of him coming from another planet, nah. So what kind of Superman is
this? Let's just make him a guy.
It's not Superman. It's just man.
That was a Mystery Science Theater sketch when they were coming up with different superheroes.
Okay,
and one of them was Man-Man.
Oh, well, there you go. I can't wait. Man said I could.
Oh, that's a callback.
Yeah, right. Callback.
Man said it's okay.
But see, well, I hope they don't remake Flash Gordon the same way I hope that they don't remake Suspiria, which they've been talking about doing, and I kind of feel like they're probably going to do it, and I really wish they wouldn't. It's because Flash Gordon has such a distinct visual style.
Yeah.
And the same Flash way that Gordon, Suspiria does. And if you remade it without that, it wouldn't be the same.
Flash Gordon can only be told to you from the past. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, they modernized Flash a little bit and put him into the 80s just by changing him from a polo player to a football player. Okay.
Because who the fuck plays polo?
Who really cares? You know what I mean? That's not really modernizing the character. It was still something that was straight out of the 30s.
Yeah.
If you're going to do Flash Gordon again, you have to do it in that same Dino style that they showed. It has to be like out of the comic books. Yeah, you can make it look realistic, but it has to look wacky. In Flash Gordon, there was no outer space.
Yeah.
You left the Earth, and it was just atmosphere forever until you got to the next planet. There was also a up and down in space.
Yeah.
You could jump off of one planet to another if the angle was right. Remember how they were going to jump off the damn Birdman's fucking city to land on Arbor? Arboria? That was another planet.
Well, it's funny, too, because...
And there was an up and down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now, space. Arboria, that wasn't even a planet like a ball.
No, just a top.
It was just kind of like a top. It looked like a bunch of little trees.
Porn on the bottom.
Yeah, it looked like a bunch of little tree trunks, like floating
in the void. Like you took a slice out of a planet, and you just were sitting on top of it.
Yeah.
Because there was an up and down in Flash Gordon space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's one of the things I liked about
it. They left a rocket... They left in the doctor's rocket. What was his name? Dr. Zarkov?
Yeah,
Dr. Zarkov. You know. They left in Dr. Zarkov's rocket and went through the Imperial Vortex to arrive in Mongo in hours, I guess. Possibly minutes.
It was just a couple minutes.
Yeah, so they went through some kind of dimension door or something like that.
That's how I read it.
They show the Earth and it looks realistic.
Yeah.
Okay. It looks like the Earth. And when they go through that vortex and they end up on the other side of that vortex, they're no longer in the universe as we know it.
Like I said,
there's no stars. There was a blackness and a void of space.
Yeah.
When they left. When they left Earth, they left the atmosphere. They were in outer space.
Yeah.
They went through that vortex, and when they emerged on the other side, there was no longer any outer space.
No.
Not as we know it. So it's like they went into another world. Like, the world of Flash Gordon.
I was kind of feeling like, it's almost kind of like you're going to Mount Olympus.
Yeah.
You're going into another dimension, kind of.
And it's not really real.
Where the laws here don't apply.
Right, exactly.
You know, it just has its own deal. Yeah. So, you know, if you can roll with it that way.
Yeah.
And not try to make it seem like it's realistic that a football player could kick everyone's ass, like, just by running around with a Fabergé egg. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then, you know, you'll enjoy it. But like I said, the Blu-ray.
If you can't roll with this movie, then you don't need to be watching.
Yeah.
That's really what it's about. Exactly. Okay. This isn't a movie about realism. It's a mythic tale, kind of like watching Sinbad. And really, if you didn't like this movie because you saw it on television or HBO when you were a kid on the old cathode ray tube televisions, you haven't really seen the movie until you've seen this bitch in HD.
It is really amazing.
With the screen format.
Yeah.
What do you call it? The screen ratio.
The wide aspect ratio.
Yeah, wide aspect ratio. Oh, man. It's really looks
for
really
real.
Good.
The sets and the costumes are my favorite. I could just watch that with the volume down.
Yeah.
Like, I could just watch it for hours.
Yeah, jamming out to Queen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a man with man's courage. You know he's nothing but a man. Never fail. Only the pure of heart can tread the golden grey of it.
That was quite a tender moment, wasn't it?
I gotta leave it at that.
Thank you, Freddie. You got possessed by Freddie Mercury there for a
everything
second.
But the teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know how the teeth happened. Yeah, we gotta go. Give the movie a second chance if you haven't seen this on Blu-ray on HD. It's fucking fantastic. You have a lot of fun.
Flash,
you
saved every one of
us. The movie's just about having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, that'll do it for this movie review. See you guys later.
Bring me the boar worms.
No, not the boar worms.